Now, good morning, everyone. Has it been hot enough for you this week? You know, you're the tough ones because you're at church in this heat. Well done. And how blessed are we to have air conditioning. Did it feel cool when you came in? Yes, it's good, isn't it? Back in the olden days, there was no air conditioning and they had these hard seats to sit on, but we can sit in comfort. Before I begin this sermon, I've got a couple of videos I want to show you. The first is about an ex-Marine. He's now a firefighter, but he's an ex-Marine taking down an armed robber. Have you got that there, Eve, please?
Hello and good evening. I'm Steve Eager. First on Fox 4 News at 5:30 tonight, it only took an off-duty Mansfield firefighter a few seconds to decide he was going to stop the robber who just brushed past him with a knife in a Midlothian convenience store. Fox 4's Lori Brown got the first on-camera interview with that firefighter and has more of the video takedown.
This is video you've got to see. Firefighter Daniel Gaskey stopped in the Oasis food store in Midlothian before heading to work on June 26th. Then a 19-year-old shoved past him and held on a hunting knife about 5 inches long to the cashier.
Startled me at first, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Well, I stepped back and realized what was going on real quick.
Daniel Gaskey says he heard the robber say,
"This is going to be quick and easy. Give me the money."
The time between the first shove and Gaskey's takedown is only 7 seconds. Gaskey told us the careful calculations he had to make in those seconds.
"I'm going to maintain control of the weapon, but if I miss the weapon, I'm going to be so far or so close to his back that he won't be able to maneuver his arm around to wound me, you know, in the process."
Gaskey then managed to hold the man down for 4 to 7 minutes until police arrived. He says it felt like a lot longer.
"After I had gotten the knife away from him and I was holding him down, I was able to talk to him very calmly."
Many are calling Gaskey a hero.
"I'm not. I like to think that anyone else in that situation would have been able to assess and done the right thing too."
But not everyone could. Gaskey is a Marine who served in Iraq from 2005 to 2006.
"Sometimes doing what's right involves getting a license plate number of somebody driving away."
Today happens to be Gaskey's 1-year anniversary with the Mansfield Fire Department.
"I saw the video for the first time this morning. I went, this wasn't just, hey, I'm holding until the police can get here. He intervened and made a difference in someone's life."
Gaskey says the suspect, Dylan Bearden, did not put up much of a struggle during the takedown. He hopes the 19-year-old will get the message and turn his life around.
"I've been praying for him."
Oh, yeah, it's a good one, isn't it? What a lovely man. He was giving the young thief good counsel while he was holding him down. I like that. And did you hear him say right at the end of the video, "I'm praying for him"? So I've got a sneaky feeling he's a Christian. That's really cool. Okay, let me just explain the next video before I show it. An intruder didn't count on an 82-year-old woman who was living alone being an award-winning weightlifter with nerves of steel. 82-year-old Willie Murphy was getting ready for bed one Thursday night at her home in Rochester, New York, when a man pounded on the door and said he needed an ambulance. She called the police but wouldn't open the door. She obviously sensed there was something not right. Then, she said, the man broke in and he immediately began to prowl through the dark house. "He picked the wrong house to break into," Murphy told reporters later. She clobbered him with a table, poured shampoo in his face, and was beating him with a broom when the police arrived. "I was wailing on that man." Wailing, by the way, means a highly targeted phishing attack. "I was wailing on that man," Murphy told the journalist, "because I said to myself, if it's my time to go to hell, I'm going to take him with me." The man got his ambulance ride after all. He was sent to a hospital because the old lady had beaten him real bad. And the local police tweeted a selfie with Murphy, calling her tough as nails. Let's have a quick look at the video. It's only a short one.
Burglars beware. Don't mess with Willie Murphy. The 82-year-old literally turned the tables on a guy who tried to break into her Rochester home. She's been powerlifting for the last 8 years. She picked up a TV tray and put those reps at the gym to good use.
I picked it up and started hitting, and it broke. The table broke in half because I was wailing on his behind.
Willie was okay, but the burglar, he had to take a trip to the hospital.
Yeah. I like that kind of story. She's a tough old thing. Pastor Vicky and I want to be just like her when we grow up. But she needs Jesus nevertheless, doesn't she? Lord, save that woman so she goes to heaven and not hell. Amen? I love both reports. Both show the assailants get more than they bargained for. They chose the wrong place at the wrong time. They chose to attack unsuspecting people who were actually ready. The aggressors attacked unsuspecting people who were in reality ready. Let us pray. Father, I ask that the rippling effect of this sermon will result in people being set free from spiritual oppression, people being saved from an eternity without you, people being healed from all manner of afflictions, and people glorifying you. Amen. If you were going to write your last email / letter to someone very dear, what would you write? Often when I prepare a sermon, I feel the Holy Spirit say to me, if this was going to be the last sermon you preach, are you satisfied with what you've written? It's very gracious of the Holy Spirit to check me before I deliver a message to the church. And this kind of question always invokes a serious response from me. These could be my last words. Have I said what really needs to be said? But if you were going to write your last email / letter to someone very dear, what would you say? It would have to be something pretty important, right? Yeah. Particularly if you were about to die, what would you say? I think I'd tell my grandchildren something they already know, like, I love you to infinity and beyond and back again. And most importantly, make sure you love Jesus all the days of your life so you will be with me in heaven when you die. It's a good exercise to think about what you would say to someone you love, because the truth is you should make sure you say it regardless of when you think you're going to pop off. Say what needs to be said now. In the New Testament, in 2 Timothy, we get to see what may have been and very likely was the Apostle Paul's final words to Timothy. Timothy was the Apostle Paul's protege and son in the faith. The Apostle Paul himself calls Timothy his son in the faith. In chapter 4, Paul gives Timothy a series of critical exhortations, imploring him to be faithful to the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul commends Timothy to be ready in season and out of season. The whole command is this in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 2. Have you got it there, Eve? I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Let me read the last verse again. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Be ready in season and out of season. The word translated ready comes from the Greek word for stand. The idea is to always be standing by, always on duty, ready to go. The word also carried a connotation of urgency in the original language. A good example might be a soldier standing at attention, attentive, and ready to assist at any moment. Timothy was to be ready in season and out of season, constantly prepared to do whatever God is calling him to do. In the original language, the words for in season and out of season mean timely and untimely, or, we'll get this one better, convenient and inconvenient. The word for in season literally means good time, and out of season comes from the same word but with a different prefix, giving it the opposite meaning, bad time. Another occurrence of the same word is found in Mark 14, verse 11, where Judas is looking for a good time or opportunity to betray Jesus. By being ready in season and out of season, Timothy should be prepared to engage in the actions Paul specifies, which are preaching the word, correcting, rebuking, and encouraging. Timothy was to do these things whether it was convenient or not. In every circumstance, he should be ready to proclaim God's truth. That was his job as a pastor, regardless of his personal feelings or even the audience's reaction. He must be ready in season and out of season to preach the word, correct, rebuke, and encourage. This letter, although originally a personal letter to Timothy from Paul, became so important in the early church that it was eventually included to become a part of Scripture. It is a part of the New Testament we have today. And let me make this clear. I don't believe this scripture has been included to solely speak to pastors. I believe this scripture is appropriate for every Christian. Like Timothy, we are commanded to always be ready to speak his word. And I can back this up by other scriptures, so please read with me 1 Peter verses 3 to 15. Have you got it there? Read this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared. Can you say those words? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's pretty clear. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I pray that people see that you have a hope. We are supposed to live our lives showing, displaying the hope of Christ in us. But do this with gentleness and respect. In other words, don't put them off. Win them over by your attitude in the way you speak. I know, people, this can be very, very difficult, can't it? To always be prepared to give an answer. I had a personal trainer at a gym around 6 years ago. She had very big muscles. She had muscles on her muscles. Furthermore, her body was covered, and I mean covered, in tattoos. She also had piercings everywhere. When I was on the leg press once, she was looking down at me as I lay there pushing weights with my legs, and I could see right up her nose. Wrongly, I thought she had a dirty nose that needed blowing. So the polite thing for me to do was to tell her that her nose needed blowing. She looked at me and said, "It's a stud." And I said, "Oops, Sorry. I'm sure she ramped up the session and made it 10 times harder for me that day. Anyway, she knew that I was a pastor because I told her, she'd asked me what I did and I told her. And it was during a round of me doing torturous push-ups that she chose to ask the big question. So tell me about your faith in God. That's what she asked me while I'm doing push-ups. I can remember quickly talking to God silently in my head, "You have got to be kidding me. I'm in agony here. I'm hurting. I can't take much more. And I've now got to give my testimony while I'm doing push-ups? Who does that?" But the Spirit reminded me right at that moment to be ready in season and out of season. So while I was sweating and puffing and panting and dying, I gave my testimony. I got a different angle to what it means to suffer for Christ that day. I did. You know what? I almost got it to church. I was that close. But the most important thing is that I said what needed to be said at an amazingly inconvenient time. It was definitely an out-of-season moment. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. The next supporting scripture is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. This is a good one. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. What needs courage? Speaking out for Jesus? It does, doesn't it? And be strong. And finally, Galatians 6, verses 9 to 10 says this. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. And doing good, of course, is sharing the hope of Jesus. Church, listen to me now. It is easy to clock in and clock out of our faith, mistakenly believing that we represent God at church, but not throughout the week. This was not an option for Timothy, and it's not an option for us. If you are a Christian, you are a chosen people. You are a chosen, you think you've chosen God, but he's chosen you. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Have we got that scripture? This is such a beautiful scripture. Let's have a look why we have been chosen, why we're a priesthood, and why we're a holy nation. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That you may declare. Do you declare by doing this? Is that declaring it? No. You've got to speak it out. You have to speak it out. What do you speak out? You speak out how good God is. Your job is to declare, announce, proclaim the praises of him. In other words, let people know how good he is by sharing your personal testimony. Whether it was speaking to a crowd, changing a tire, standing in a line at the shops, having our hair cut, being tortured by a trainer at the gym, or helping a work colleague, we should be ready in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not, to declare his praises and his truth to a watching world. Every Christian has their own testimony to tell of how God saved them and transformed their life. Have your testimony on hand. Be ready. We've had some wonderful testimonies over the last couple of weeks. They have certainly encouraged us all. If you've missed the testimonies, please check them out on YouTube. They're really good. What really pleased me was when I asked each person to share their Christian testimony, they all willingly said, yeah, I can do that. Not one went, I'm not sure about that. They all went, yep, I can do that. It was a pleasure for them to do so because in their hearts they were ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't care how young you are or how old you are you ready? It may be your unsaved brother who'll phone you out of the blue this week and ask you the question that you'd never thought he'd ask. It may be that work colleague who recently lost a close relative. It may be your neighbour. It may be a friend. Whoever it is, are you ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that you have in Jesus? I want to encourage your church to set some time aside to think about your personal Christian testimony. It doesn't need to be long. It only needs to be a paragraph for the short version. You can actually prepare a short version and a long version. I have a quick one for the checkout chicks who, when I'm putting through vast amounts of items for church shopping, they ask what it's all for. Or they ask, what did you do yesterday? And it's Monday. That's a good one. You've all had that one. What did you do on the weekend, or what are you going to do? That's a great one. At these times, there are certain things I say that encourage them to continue questioning me. And then I have a longer version for when I'm having a coffee with an old friend who wants to know what I've been up to with my life. Be ready. Being ready gives you a confidence that you wouldn't normally have. When you're ready, it's easier to do it. The average 82-year-old lady wouldn't even think to attack an intruder. Think about it. Would the average 82-year-old lady think to attack an intruder? No, they'd sit in a corner somewhere and put a blanket over them, really worried. It would be the furthest thing in their minds. But this woman, she knew she had the strength to do so. She was confident in her own capabilities. And it totally took the assailant by surprise. Young David, in the Old Testament, when he faced Goliath, he was ready. After all, with God's help, he'd already killed a lion and a bear. Have any of you killed a lion and a bear? No, he had. He'd done it. To David, Goliath was a piece of cake. When Goliath said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? Come here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David, in reply, said a whole lot more. "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered there here would know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Gosh, that was pretty cocky of David, wasn't it? He just went that step more, didn't he? Give him an inch, he takes a mile. This wasn't just about him and Goliath, was it? It was about the whole Philistine. He took them all on. The Bible says that when Goliath started to move towards David, and by the way, David saying that made him really angry, and he starts to move. But David, he ran towards him. Goliath moved, but David ran. He was running in the excitement of what was about to happen because he knew. Can I just say that the morning when David woke up, he had no intentions of fighting a giant. It wasn't a national fighting giant day. It wasn't. Early that morning, his dad decided to send him, the youngest son, on a little errand to give food to his older brothers and see how they were on the battlefront. He was a tea lady. But then David ends up fighting the biggest man in the Philistine army. Why? Because he knew he could. He knew he could. He already killed a bear. He'd already killed a lion. He was ready. He had, listen to me now, new word for your Christian dictionary. He had Godfidence. What do you reckon? He had Godfidence, not confidence, Godfidence. Now, I'd like to take the credit for that word, but I can't. On Monday, I phoned up, well, Brie phoned me like she does every Monday, and she goes, PP, which stands for Pastor Pamela. What are you preaching next Sunday? Because she likes to prepare for children's church. And so I told her all my sermon. And at the end, she said, oh, David had Godfidence. I went, pardon? She said, oh, David had Godfidence. Not confidence, but Godfidence. I said, Brie, that is so good. I'm writing that one in. That's really good. And I tell you what, I'll give you the credit. So where did she get it from, Elise?
No, I just said hashtag.
Hashtag. Oh, hashtag. Gee, you're modern, aren't you, Lise? You're right. You know. He had Godfidence. Not confidence, but Godfidence. He knew he was ready. Christians, could we all please be ready to give our testimony? Am I asking too much? No. We need to be ready to give our testimony, to speak God's word in season and out of season, no matter what. Be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. If you're ready, there is no telling what God may do through you at the most inconvenient time. You know, I'm beginning to think that those inconvenient times just may be the best times for God. Have you noticed? That's how God works. He's in reverse often to how we think. The most inconvenient ones just may be the best times for God. Are you ready? If you're not, get ready. Get ready this week. I'm closing this sermon now, and I say with confidence, no, sorry, I say with Godfidence that if this was the last sermon I ever preach, I've said what I need to say to City View Church. Be ready when it's convenient and when it's not. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Lord, I just know that if everyone does what you're telling them to do through this sermon, we would see some mighty miracles this year. May this whole church be ready to proclaim your goodness at all times, regardless of what may be happening around us. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit move in a powerful way through us all. May the giants fall. May mountains be moved because of our testimony and our Godfidence. Lord, use us like you did the young David, Lord. We want to see miracles happen in our neighborhood, in our church, in our community. We are hungry to see the real thing, to see the second chapter of Acts thing happen in this place. So, Lord, I pray that no one here will sort of think, oh, I don't feel adequate. If they're a Christian, I pray today they will be inspired to be ready and know that putting their trust in you is the best thing they could ever do, because it makes an opportunity for a miracle in someone else's life. So, Lord, just use this scripture today. I pray it will echo over in everybody's minds again and again and again, and that, Lord, they will be ready. In fact, I pray this week everybody will have an experience of having to be ready, of speaking your word to someone, Lord, and making time. Amen.